to A Nightmare on Fear Street.
We're Trent and Sheree, and we're chatting about the fiercest genre.
Expect hot takes, cold drinks, and a couple of fights.
Check out the link in the episode description to connect with us via the usual socials, Patreon, and our YouTube channel.
Hey, y'all. Hey, welcome back to Fear Street. I am not Trentington, if you listen closely. However, I am joined by LaBob.
Hey, it me, y'all.
We figured it was a new year, and so we should talk about the blackening, and we should like do some guests, because you know we love a one-off episode over here, because we're chaotic as fuck.
Listen. Absolutely.
So let us just go ahead and catch up, because we've not talked to LaBob in a hot minute. Like, what all are you doing now, LaBob? Because it's always a lot.
Oh, you know, everything. Yes, LaBob here. Happy to be back on A Nightmare on Fear Street. Thank you so much for inviting me. You know, Hearing in Color is going well. We've got a season happening this fall through December. So if you're in Chicago and you want to see some music, check out hearingincolor.org. Jesus.
Wow.
Oh, man. Radio work is going good. And, you know, I'm just out here vibing, really.
I love that. And what new horror things have you been watching? TV, movie, video games, all of the good stuff.
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything TBH. Somebody introduced me to Demon Slayer, and I did not know that animes could be terrifying. these monsters, I'm not going to hold you, these little demons, they kind of get up under your skin a little bit. They're so creepy and weird. So I've been kind of getting into that recently. As far as horror, I don't know if I've seen anything that's been terrifying, but I am starting, or I did start, the like Conjuring universe.
Yes.
I want to just see how this all unfolds. So I started at Annabelle. I think I just watched the first Conjuring, so I'm going to keep making my way through it. So far, all I got to say is Annabelle is creepy and weird. The Conjuring is the best movie in the saga so far. So
the first two Conjurings and that second Annabelle are the reason that universe exists, and everything yes. else I've seen.
Yeah. Yeah, I will say, what is it? Annabelle Creation?
Yeah.
That one, I was shook. I was like, okay, I need to watch cartoons after this.
That's the one they should have started with. Because at first, yeah. when I was like, Annabelle's mid. Also, you went to Alfred Woodard. I got thoughts. And so right. when I got to the other one, I was like, I don't even want this. And it was like, bitch, you gonna get it. Also scared. I was like, what?
Yeah. Not
trying again. I wasn't ready for that.
Yes, that was terrifying. I was like, don't show me no demon faces. I don't like that.
Once you put little kids in olden times, I won't be there no more.
Honestly.
Cuts to me saging my TV.
Oh my goodness. Honestly. Yeah, that was creepy. So yeah, I'm doing that. And that's honestly, life is doing this big scary one right now. So I'm like, ooh, ducking and dodging.
I love it.
Yes.
You can tell the people where to find you and your organization and your radio show online if you would like them to find you. On the
yes. Podcast. So if you want to catch up with me on Instagram, you can find me at RobkRafael. If you want to check out Hearing in Color, you can head to our website, hearingincolor.org. You can follow us on Instagram at hearingincolor.shy, C-H-I. And if you listen to classical music on the radio and you want to hear something different, you can check out WFMT.com. There's a streaming button. Or if you're in Chicago and you can listen on your radio in your car, if you're like over 50, it's 98.7 FM.
And y'all should definitely check it out, especially, I mean, this will go up after October, but like during the Halloween month, LaBob sometimes put on some creepy classical music from some of our favorite movies.
For sure.
I love it because I don't sleep. And so when I do remember what day it is, I tune in. I'm like, ooh, is that from The Exorcist? And you're like, yeah. Also, I'm at work. And I'm like, I just need to know. I walked in late. What?
Yes. Oh, my God. Also, not to be ageist to those who listen to the radio. I know there are folks and, you know, whatever. But, yeah.
Nah, they're all 15. I wish I would see a millennial be like on the radio the other day. And I'd be like,
excuse me?
Were you driving an Uber? Like, right.
Not even Uber. Were you in a taxi? Did What's going on?
Did it say yellow cab? Is that what happened?
Right. Oh my God.
But let us get into the blackening, because this was, I believe, your first watch, my second and a half watch. And so all the thoughts are fresh.
Yes. Oh my goodness. What a movie, honestly.
It's such a damn good time.
Yes.
Your first note, because you're the guest of honor.
Okay. First of all, I will say this is one of those movies that like definitely grabbed my attention from the beginning. And the first thing that I said when they unveiled this game was, what in the Jumanji is about to happen?
It was racist Jumanji. Like, the second it popped off.
Racist Jumanji slash Saw. I was like, what is going on here? I hate slash love that.
No, because the thing is, it was a jump scare, but also we've all been in like the white friend's house and like their parents or grandparents tried to hide the racist memorabilia, but you find it because they hide it in bad places.
Right.
And I'm like, you put that in the fridge? I think I was going to go for a beer, really? And then I got this racism. Listen.
Now I got racism all over my blue moon. What's going on?
Right. I'm going to drink it, but you think about your choices, Ethel. And then they're like, why don't your friends come over for Thanksgiving anymore? And it's like, because the racism.
Cause, what? Because you got a fucking Meemaw picture up on the wall.
Listen, you got a Meemaw on that wall. You got a Confederate flag on that wall.
Right. Like,
you got banjos in the basement. I did not feel safe.
That's like sage for black people, clearly.
Right? You wanted me gone. And I'm gone. I took three blue moons. I hopped back in the car.
Right. Oh my God. Yeah, honestly, there was so much at the beginning of the movie that I was like, okay, you know, it's like, you know, your chin scratching. What's going to happen here? I love to see black men hold each other accountable. I love that conversation at the beginning between the old boy and other old boy, yeah. Where they were just like, what? No, you doing this. No, you stop being a fuckboy. And I was like, yes.
I was living for King and is it Namdi?
King and Namdi.
Also, the actor who plays Namdi is in a different horror movie from last year called, well, at the time this goes out, it'll be 2022. So 2 years ago, called Nanny, which is on Prime Video.
Oh.
And it's African folklore. Ooh. And he's the love interest for the woman who is the lead. So I'm going to say about that, get into it. People slept on it because they always do.
Yeah, like, what is it called?
Nanny.
Nanny. Oh, okay.
It's when you watch it, LaBob, find me immediately. Because I was like, oh, we know these white people. Oh, we know where this is going. The microaggressions were so cut. They were cutting. They were cutting. I was like, ow. Oh, I got to get a Band-Aid. Oh. But I was happy to see him because I liked him in that. And he's nice to look at. And I was like, is you back?
Yes.
And he's very, like, I am.
Very nice to look at.
Very. This is a cast.
Okay, can we just talk about that for a second? Because that was my other comment that I didn't write down.
Yes.
Everybody fine.
Everybody.
Everybody.
It opens with Yvonne and Jay, who, when SNL let Jay go, I'm like, you just lost me as a viewer. Okay. And I love that they get to like have their Drew Barrymore at the top of screen moment, and they're having that meta conversation about how they couldn't afford to keep her. And they look at the fucking camera, and I'm like, so you're not going to be the leads. Thank you for letting us know.
Yes, that was like my favorite part. Oh my God. They like just looked at each other, and I was like, I like that.
It made me so happy, and it made the other like screen references pop out for me even more. Because there's so many horror references, but like when King's like, "I'm feeling woozy here," I'm like, "Don't you fucking dare! Don't you fucking dare!" And I just love that Dwayne Perkins is that kind of a nerd. We need more black nerds writing the things.
I mean, truly, shout out to him for this movie because wow, I just didn't know. And I had been following him for so long. And so I knew he was in this movie, but when it opened and it was like, oh yeah, written and, you know, produced, I was like, wait, what?
Because like we both been following him since we were both living in Chicago. Like you still in Chicago, but like even before we were roommates in Chicago. So like way in the back, y'all. I said that like it was like decades ago. But like
it feels like it.
We survived a lot in those 2 years in that apartment.
Yep. We could write our own horror movie about it.
We should. It should end with the ceiling caving in. Yes. That's shut down the fucking apartment building. Then the ceiling caved in.
Only ceiling in caves in, and then the credits come up based on a true story.
We become the woman in the window drinking the vodka out of the bottle that we saw when we were looking at the apartments.
It's a cycle. It's like the frick. What is that movie I just watched? I'll think about it later. But
Paranormal
yeah.
Activity 5?
Yeah, something like that. Where yeah. everything is a cycle. It's all in the house.
Right? Every time a Katie pop up, I'm like, oh no. And they keep going back to her. All roads go back to Katie. Yes. Which, that's fair. Because all roads always lead me to Alinda. No matter where I go, no matter what space it is, all roads go back to Alinda somehow.
Oh man. Also, another thing about this movie, and you know, let's just keep it real, the blackening is for black people, and I absolutely love that. All of the subtle blackness in this film, not even subtle, like the overt blackness, I just love everything about it. The moment when he was like, you know, he's been shot and then he falls down and she slaps him and he's like, I was just resting my eyes. How many times have you been a little kid and like somebody's like, you asleep? And you're like, no, I'm just resting my eyes.
I loved that. I also love that they kept saying, you keep drinking that sugar, you're gonna get a cramp. Cause that's some shit that like somebody's grandma would say to them and it was sticking to forever. What?
Yes, or the like, you know, the nonverbal communication between literally everybody in the film, those looks. You know, being a black person on that train when some white dude is doing something crazy on that train, you lock eyes with the black person across the train from you, and y'all both know exactly what you're thinking.
Listen. I love all of it. They don't even explain spades to people. Either you played or you didn't play.
Right.
You know what these words are, you don't. And now David Clifton could get in. They were like, no. You should have learned. You yes. black.
And I also love that that's the premise of the like, that's the origin story of the villain is like, you didn't teach me spades.
Which is legit, because I feel like spades is the most stressful thing you could do as a black child.
Listen.
Because I learned how to play and I was good at it and adults were threatened.
I'm going to speak for my friend right now who shall not be named. He also doesn't know how to play spades. And, he's been asking for a while for somebody to teach him, but you know, we're still working on it. I you know, I'm gonna find somebody who can teach him how to play.
We gotta teach him because you can't yes. be out here not knowing. I've not played in forever, but I know mm-hmm. I will never renege no matter right. what's going on.
That's the one thing I know my friend says is that I know he doesn't know how to play spades, but one thing he does know is not to renege.
I've seen people get divorced over reneging. I've seen them disown children.
Listen.
Cuts to like wives in the corner crying. We need to have more reality TV about spades.
You want to find out your real family history? Let somebody renege in spades. All the secrets coming out.
Listen. The first time somebody ever yelled, you was adopted, was over a spades game. We don't think that person was adopted, but also after they right. left, we just let it go. We never brought it back up, obviously, because nope. it was a painful moment. But like, we were like, where are they? Is that canon? Is that rumor? What happened? Yes. Is that really my cousin? What?
Yes. Oh my God. Okay, the other thing about this film is, so clearly, once Clifton came on the scene, I was like,
he did. Yep.
You did it. You did it.
He was not invited. Like he kept nope. trying to make it a thing. We're like, no.
Right.
But unlike some movies, I didn't mind knowing that because I was having fun.
Yeah, it was like watching, for me, it felt like a black sitcom. Like, you know everything that's going to happen, but you still watch it because you know everybody's going to say something amazing.
Right? Right? Like, yeah. I was not watching Keenan and Kale for the twists and the turns. I was like, Kale loves orange soda.
Okay.
He's gonna save the day. His dad gonna yell at him. Blanky.
Period.
And a lot of movies are predictable but not fun, and that's what I get testy. Because I'm just like, so yeah. I predicted this M. Night Shyamalan, and now I'm gonna sit here for 2 hours for whomst.
Right.
Whereas
right.
this is like, that's not really what's really important. What's really important is that we're all thriving. We're all mm-hmm. gonna survive. We have some jokes along the way. And of course you're gonna clock he's the odd person out because he do not fit in. He is, right. he's black, but he's not one of us. Mm-hmm. He's the outsider.
Yeah.
He's the Carlton, which somebody did call him Carlton, I cackled.
he's been scorned, and he's upset at his community. And I'm like, all right, sir.
Right? Like, he's the one who goes out and does the things, looking at Kanye West, because somebody was like, I didn't like your album. And so he's like, I voted for Trump twice. Ooh. And it's like, it wasn't that deep. You could just been like, that hurt my feelings.
Oh my God. Oh. I love all the justified people, the justified reactions when he was like, I voted for Trump twice. The justified anger.
Sneaker having to be held back.
Yes. Oh my God. And then he walked out and was like, all lives matter.
And he slapped Kang in the face. And oh, I was like, man. This is every Twitter fight I've ever had with a hotep.
Listen, okay. Man, yeah, it was very good play on a lot of like Black references. I love that.
Even just the questions the game was asking, like how many seasons did we have Black Aunt Viv? I was like, that's a real thing we have to figure out. Every once in a while, we're like, did we have it for 3 or 4?
Right. I was sitting there like thinking the whole time when they asked the question about how many Black actresses and actors have been featured on Friends. I was like, baby, that would have been me. I would have been out right then and there because I only watched Living Single.
Listen, I would have been dead. And I love that it was like, trick question. The real question right. is, I didn't watch that shit. Because that's what I thought. And then they was like, I didn't watch that shit, but.
Right.
I didn't watch that shit, but. It's just, I would like to have this game. Because the questions are so legit. And we need more merch for Black movies. Definitely. So if anybody could tell Dwayne Perkins, I'm willing to buy the game. I don't know if he gets to say that or if he has to like go through the studios.
Right.
Just put it in my box. Just put it in my box. I'll do a nice little review.
Yeah. Like, you know, we need that. I don't know how I feel about all the faces on the game, but I definitely want it.
For the culture, I will put something over the face and just pull the cards.
Speaking of Dwayne Perkins, there's this dynamic in the movie about his best friend who's dating again mm-hmm. this problematic dude that she's been dating and secretly dating.
Yep.
And Dwayne's level of petty, hats off. I was like, we are the same person.
Because we've all seen our friends make these same mistakes over and over and over.
Over
and
they're just and like, over
could you let
over.
Me do it? And then they do it and they're like, I gotta come over because I'm sad. It's like, bitch.
How many times are you gonna need to come over because you're sad?
Right? Off the bat, I was like, I'm with Dwayne on this plane. I'm on his side. I think you need to be doing better, treat your friends better. But yep. I feel like him and Shanika are my favorites because I feel like two of them together are me. I feel like I've been split as a Gemini into these two characters and I feel represented. And they also got they both got the biggest laughs out of me among all my rewatches.
Yes. Like,
yeah.
Definitely. Shanika was hilarious. Her literally crossing a river. I was like, this is wild. I need to see her and Kelly from Insecure in something together.
Yes. We can have a new show because Max is canceling everything else. So like put them on them slots.
Right.
Like, right. When they cancel Black Lady Sketch Show, I'm like, what's the point in paying you anymore?
Honestly. Disrespectful.
Right? And they're like, we gave Robin Thede agency to do other shows. I'm like, that's cool, but Black Lady Sketch Show was why it was paying you.
Okay. God.
People.
Yeah, also not this. So what is it? Well, I forget her name. One of the Black girls in this movie.
It feels so nice to have somebody to choose from.
Right?
Lisa, the one who's with Namdi, or Allison, the one who's biracial.
Allison, the one who's biracial, she gets Adderall from Shanika, and like her white side starts creeping out. I love it. Oh man,
she made me happy because she came up with the white jokes. Yes. And she was like, "I don't trust white people." Like, your daddy's white, and she's like, "I know." Look.
She's like, "That's my point."
Every time he gets mad, I'm like, "Oh no, murder suicide." Look.
Oh my God.
Like, I just, when I was rewatching this, I was like, this really is Clue for Black people. Like,
yes.
And we've deserved for so fucking long because I love Clue, but also I was not there. And I did not, I would like to see myself. And here we are.
Yeah. Okay, and then the other thing too that was like very just yes for me was that right from the beginning of the movie, every black person was questioning everything.
Yes.
As opposed to these white horror movies where everybody's just like, oh yeah, we're in this house. Ooh, what's that noise? A creak? Oh, let me go and figure out what that is. In this movie, that you hear a creak and it's like, child, let me shut this door and walk on or walk away.
Everybody running. Everybody right. gone.
Everybody's like, is that, that door is locked. Must be locked for a reason.
I love how the mistrust leads to some of the choices because they were like, we don't trust this cop, obviously. We just found this mask in the car. Fuck him. Right. And he's like, no, I know how it looks. They're like, no, fuck you. I know you got the keys. You're not getting in here. And once he gets shot with the arrow, Dwayne's like, we should have trusted him.
Yes. Oh, man. I agree with you that some of the best parts of this movie were these very small lines that were said.
Like King at the end when she's like beating the dude in the head with a candlestick, which is also a clue. And she's like, why do black women save everybody? And he's like, that's why I married a white woman. It's said so quietly and so much is happening that you almost lose it. But like, it's so fucking funny.
Yes. Oh my God. There was another part like that, and I think it was just like everybody in the background being like, oh, I'm okay, I think that's okay, I think we're all right now. I love the pep talk that Shanika gave Allison, where she's like, if you want to be somebody, and immediately I was in my on my couch just being like, and you want to go somewhere, you gotta wake up and pay attention.
I was and like, that's because you're going.
Oh, man.
I also just love that they were like, we killed him, run his pockets. Get some answers and see if we got some money. Like, right. Just for our pain and suffering. Like, when Dwayne found the envelope with all their names on it, how much they were each worth, and he was like,
damn.
We're only worth $1,000? It's so insulting. And he pockets it? Like,
not a cheap kill.
Like, 100 for this one, 100 for that one, 150 for that one. Like, right. I was like,
oh, my goodness. Yeah.
I also love that this is possibly the first movie I've seen where multiple black people live. Like,
and I so loved that. The end of the movie was very special for me because, you know, they're all sitting there and then they're like, what do we do now? Do we call the police? And then they all just bust out laughing. Like, no. But then Dwayne is like, let's call the fire department. And I was like, smart move, smart move.
And then they get hosed because
because it's a comedy and you have to.
Right? Plus it's accurate. Like, there was just no way. That was least harm. Mm-hmm. But still, because all six of them survive. And I've never seen six black people at the end of any horror movie in my life.
Right.
Even Scary Movie, I think the cap was like 4 maybe.
Right. And it made the beginning of the movie with Yvonne and Jay so much funnier because they actually did die.
Jay was definitely the black guy who dies first. And you know what? It's a sacrifice he took for the team. And I respect that.
Yep.
Because I remember when they were advertising this, they're like, we can't all die first. And it was the same time that the Black Guy Dies First book was coming out. And I was like, I don't know who planned this marketing-wise, but yes, I see the parallels. I see the joint merch we could be having. I want it.
Right. Okay, I have one critique, and that is, I feel like the plot kind of becomes a little dragged out once they kill the twins, the two people who are after them. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, you know, once we get to the basement and Clifton is explaining his story, I was like, okay. I feel like that part could have been brought in a little sooner because, you know, 25 minutes of running through the house and through the woods, I was like, okay, what's going to happen? Like, somebody tell me how this all came to be. I just need that.
And I think what that comes back to is because we already knew it was Clifton.
Right,
and so we're like, just go and get to it. You've killed the other two. Just go and get to that.
You know what? You're right.
Because the movie's like 90 minutes, which is all I ask for in a movie.
Yes.
But I will say that last 10, 15 does feel like the longest.
It does. It does. I enjoyed it. Like I said, it's kind of like watching a sitcom where you're like, okay, now I'm going to take this time to like finish this bowl of cereal while this is all happening. But I enjoyed it, but I was like, okay, this feels a little dragged on now. Just give it to me so we can get to the resolution.
Right. I also love that we get the vomit because he kept threatening to vomit. Which is like the rule of three. Like, I'm so anxious, I'm gonna throw up. And then the dude's like, I'm gonna fuck y'all up. And he's like, blah. And the dude's like, oh, that's fucking disgusting. No,
it was unexpected, but I did appreciate it.
He said it twice, and I was like, are we gonna get vomit? But I forgot because so much was happening.
Right.
And then he's like, I'm gonna vomit. Is this the time in the vent? Because oh god, and it was. It was. I also let somebody have their heart to heart because they fucking ran off and left him. And he's like, I was joking. When I said, leave me, I was joking.
Right. Right. Listen.
And she was like, you didn't mean it. We got to go back for you.
Oh my God. And I love the part where they were like, all right, Allison, that's the white part of you talking. When she was like, I think we need to split up.
It's so just funny. It's so much joy. It's just so much fucking joy.
And I think that's really what it boils down to for me. Like, it was such an enjoyable movie just because, like, you knew that it was made in, like, good, it was just like made with good intentions, you know. It wasn't trying to be like incredibly serious, but it did want to give you a plot. It was just very well done. I enjoyed that so much.
It's why I'm always yelling that we need more non-white people telling these stories. Because if a white person had written this, we would have been the joke. Whereas when a black people write it, we're in on the joke. We're telling the jokes.
Right.
You know, it's different. And that's why I have a hard time going to theaters to see white people be like, I'm ally. Here's my 3-hour epic about your people. No.
Can't do it anymore.
Open your wallets and shut your mouth. That's how you ally. You cannot ally by writing my story for them and being like, take it, you're welcome.
I'm sorry, can you say that one more time?
Open your wallets and shut your mouths.
That this episode is sponsored by Open Your Wallets and Shut Your Mouths.
Yes. You right? Like, buy it in wholesale at Costco and
That's going to be the name of my new production company. Open your wallets and shut your mouths.
Listen, that's how you fucking ally. If you want more stories out there like that, support the people who should be telling them, don't tell them for them.
Yep.
Because what happens is you get attacked for doing the wrong things and you're like, I'm an ally. If you have to say you're an ally, you're not an ally.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If you're so great, you ain't got to say it. People are going to say it for you.
People should know, let the works I've done speak for me.
Right? Period. Like, Beyonce's not out here being like, I'm great. I do stuff.
Let's talk about it. That's a whole nother episode. That's a whole nother episode. Beyonce, girl, we need you to come out with a horror movie, a horror album, or something so we can put you on this podcast, okay?
You know hers would be the best one of the year.
Okay.
When Grammys, Oscars, it would shut it down.
Period. And we need it. We require that. If Michael Jackson can do Thriller, I need Beyonce to do something.
Listen, because I just feel like if Meg Thee Stallion can start working on her script, Beyonce could. Because Beyonce has more hours in the day than we do. And so if Meg is pulling it off.
She clearly has like at least 15 more hours in each day than we do.
At least. Because she's just like, I have a new album tonight, everybody. Get into it. It's like, you just stopped touring.
When that tour ended and the next thing I saw was head to the theaters, I was like, when did you have time? But you know what?
I'm going to
be right there, front row, sat.
It was the same thing with Bachella. She was like, now the second weekend's over, this is going to be a movie on Netflix tomorrow. And it's like, excuse you? On tomorrow? Tomorrow, right. Tomorrow? You were actively doing the last piece you need live tonight. She's like, I said what I said. Get Period. Information.
And made it happen.
Listen, best documentary Netflix ever had.
Oh, man.
But yeah. I like seeing the black people have fun. We don't get a lot of black joy on screen. We don't get a lot of black people thriving in horror movies, which is why I have too many podcasts. And so I had no notes, really. I was like, I mean, some things could have been tighter, but that's any movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Like, there was too much joy to be critical, honestly.
Right?
It was a lot of fun, very good acting, good characters. Like you said, everybody was in on the joke. It played well. It played very well. Congratulations to Dwayne. That was awesome.
Right? Like, I'm into it. I know we can't have a sequel, but I would like it if it could be like the new Knives Out, because that got real dry real fast. Mm-hmm. So if we just like had the same cast or show up in a different situation or scenario,
yeah,
and it's still like black as fuck, I could be down with that.
I would love that. And I will say the other thing that I enjoyed about it is that back in like the early 2000s, I feel like black people, like, it was kind of the same motivation a little bit. It was like, okay, we're tired of not seeing ourselves, so let's put ourselves out there and like make jokes about it. And I feel like I want that back, but less problematic. Yeah. And I feel like this was very well done. And so if Dwayne is creating any sort of new genre of black comedy horror, I need him to get into that bag seriously, because I would watch the fuck out of this.
Listen. This was also the first movie I've seen, especially a horror comedy, where like it wasn't just like we're telling gay jokes to be telling gay jokes, but right. like it was like also in on it, because it's also written by somebody who is black and queer. So we have intersectionality yeah. hitting those pages, as opposed to I heard this joke one time and I'm gonna steal it and it's yes. offensive.
My God, I need that so bad. I need that so bad. More yeah. black queer people to the front. Thank you very much.
Yes. Yes. Especially when they get to be the heroes, because he definitely is the first new girl that was the last hit.
Yes.
I lived. I was like, yes. Because who else is going to do it? Nobody. Shanika's a drunk. I see myself in her.
Allison's on Adderall and tripping.
Listen, King has been shot twice, even though it's twice. The same.
Let's give it up for King, honestly. Because I was like, baby, is you going to make it?
He was like, I got shot twice, but the same hole. It don't count. Like,
just like a black king. We love that.
Right? He's like, I've had to dodge bullets and climb gates before. I'm not afraid of this. I'm going to the tree. Help me up. And he was still throwing the good hand at the man when he showed up.
He was. Honestly, I could write like a whole thesis on each character. I loved how everybody was so diverse, so dynamic. It was so good.
Right? I also thought they were celebrating Juneteenth. Like,
period.
Yeah, because usually in horror movies, it's like, it's the 4th of July, it's Columbus Day. And I'm like, we don't celebrate colonizers.
Listen, don't nobody got it. If we doing anything on the 4th of July, it's grilling some hot dogs and chicken wings, period. And we ain't worried about not a goddamn 4th of July anything.
Listen, don't wave a flag at me. Don't you fucking dare. And so I just love that it was just like black on black on black on black. It was no, yes. let's also like run by the Hobby Lobby so people feel included. It was like, no.
Nope.
We're doing wrap snacks and like yes. lavender Moscato. She's like, put yes. that on ice for me. And I'm like, come on, girl. Like,
so good. Yeah, it was very black. I enjoyed every moment.
I just want more. If there's like a director's cut out there, that could make its way into my inbox as well with a game that I would like to also have.
Yes. All of you who are listening, Dwayne, we love you. We follow you on Twitter. If you're listening, send us something.
Right? We'll tweet about it. Like, yeah. We'll review it. Like, what we need to do? Who we need to talk to?
Right. So good.
I think it's time to get spicy. I think it's time to say the hot takes and to start making our way home. Okay. Making our way downtown.
Okay. Let's go. Let's go for it. What's the hot take?
What's your hot take, LaBob?
Oof. Hot take. I want to see more interactions between queer black men and non-queer black men on screen, because there's a misconception all around media about what that dynamic actually is. And I think we can illuminate it if we give more black queer people the access to telling the true story about it.
Yes.
That's a hot take. I mean, it's not so hot, but hey.
But like, it's legit. Cause this is probably the first movie I've seen with like four black men in their early 30s yes. who are not beefing.
Yes.
No drug addiction. Yes. No baby mamas. They just kicking it in the woods. Well, Clifton is an outlier, but still, they weren't fighting him until he needed to be fought. They were just right. like, we wish you weren't here, but whatever.
Right. Honestly. And I so appreciate that. Like, there is a story about black masculinity that I think can be told through the lens of black queerness that needs to, it needs its space. And I applaud Dwayne for giving it some space in this movie.
Yes. Because again, usually when we see Black queer men, they're the butt of the joke.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
They're like the tool to like advance a story because the white best friend needs like some sort of help with something. And you got the Black gay man to tell them what to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
None of that in this movie, though. We love that.
Living for it. My hot take is I want more Black horror comedies written by Black folks, period. Because part of the reason I'm not fucking with horror comedies as a rule is because it's usually white people doing the worst.
Yep.
And I found a handful that are not offensive in these last couple of years, but it's a handful out of hundreds and millions because people love doing horror comedies, but they don't love not being offensive. So I love that, like, when I hear the N-word here, it's not white shenanigans. It's actually Black people just talking to each other.
Period. I don't need to hear no more Quentin Tarantino N-words.
I am tired of all these directors who think they are edgy by dropping the N-word. You're not edgy. You might be a bigot. And you're definitely some kind of racist. I don't know where on the chart. You can show me on this chart. Like, you don't need it. You don't fucking need it.
Yes. And I love that the other thing, too, that this movie showcased, and this is why I say it's definitely for Black people, is that for us, the N-word, it has so many different dynamics. And it never was just calling someone the N-word. It was all the different variations of how that word shows up in Black vernacular. And so I appreciated that, too. But that can only happen, like you're saying, if it's written by Black folks.
Period. Yes. Yeah. I watched that with the subtitles on now because I'm old. And forever and always, they'll take that A off and put the hard ER on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you don't have like people doing subtitles, clearly, because it's a different meaning.
Right.
It's a whole different world than where you came from.
Right.
And so, like,
right.
We need Black people in these places to be like, no, 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 no. This has the A for a reason.
Because, right.
Like, one of the things I like about this movie, one of the main things I like about this movie, is that they talk about how bitch has different meanings.
Yeah.
Like, you call my wife a bitch, like, I mean it like in go bitch, get it. Not like in right. Bitch. Because again, Black people have our own language, which is why when people come for people, because white people love coming for Black people without knowing what the fuck is going on.
Period.
Like, how dare you use that word? That word means this and this and this. And Black people are like, we've been saying that word to mean this forever. This is an old school saying. What the fuck is going on?
Listen, don't come for me unless I send for you.
Listen.
Period.
But they love to be like, I'm not racist, but let me also upset this random Black man I saw on Twitter. And it's like, for whomst? For why?
For whomst? For why? That's going to be, I need that on a shirt.
I might make it for Christmas because we got to make some more merch anyways. For whomst? For why? A Nightmare on Fear Street. But it's just always fucking rude because it's basically tone policing on a grander scale.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't walk into Hobby Lobby knocking shit out of your hands. So don't come over to my social media to try to take my words from me.
Listen.
Yeah.
Give me what's mine.
It's the least y'all can do at this point. Because literally.
Listen. Shoot. But yeah. I agree with you. That's it's not controversial. It's facts.
We got to do with something because, like, we can't keep doing dusty, dry, white comedies. That's the reason horror comedies are not hitting for a lot of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not hitting.
It's not. I'm tired of seeing the same three white dudes tell the same racist, sexist, homophobic jokes and being like, it's humor, it's satire. Y'all need to laugh.
What's up with that?
They don't like change. That's why they had to discover a land that they did not discover because they don't like change. They're like, is it already established? Let's take it. Like,
the laziness of it all.
Right? I'm just like, what the fuck is wrong with y'all? Pull yourself up in the bootstraps and be original.
Period. Pause. Pause for Black facial expressions.
All right.
So this movie, Sheree.
Out of 5 peach lavender Moscatos, I'm going to give it 4 out of 5. What about you, LaBob?
Out of 5 peach lavender Moscatos, I'm going to give it a 4 plus 2 shots of Henny.
Yes, yes. That's Juneteenth.
Period. That's Juneteenth. Yes, with some wings on the side, okay?
Listen. That's a party I want to go to. If we have to kill Clifton, that's fine. I like wings enough to where I'm willing to do that.
Right.
You know what he did. But that is this episode of The Blackening. Thank you, LaBob, for coming back to Fear Street.
Anytime.
For those of y'all who checked this out, this episode is your first episode. LaBob is responsible for the intro and outro music. So, hey. Like, you're familiar with the work.
Man, yeah.
Happy New Year to the rest of y'all. I don't know where this is going to fall because it's hitting in January. So I don't know what's next. I might not know what's next when you hear it because that's how we roll on this street. We're drinking peach lavender Moscatos and figuring it out.
Yep.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. We have that Patreon. We have merch. You can do all the things. You can wear our faces, drink out of them. I don't care. Whatever makes you happy.
Love that.
Listen. One of the mugs do say listen. That's the one that sold the best. I did not know how much I said listen until a few guests were like, listen. I do listen. Damn it. It goes on the mug.
Okay, period.
Listen.
A new Nightmare on Fear Street game is take a shot every time Sheree says listen.
Oh, that's a game.
You're getting people into trouble there.
Don't play spades after that, y'all, because you're going to definitely renege. You're going to be like, I know what the card said.
Listen.
That's going to be like, she put me in the hospital. Listen. But yeah, y'all, stay fierce out there and bye.